News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.
I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair this week, Kenny Jacobs. He's the CEO of the Dublin Airport Authority, and he's very welcome to the programme. Kenny, how are you?
I'm good, Bobby. How are you?
Good. I want to bring you back to Leaside and growing up in Cork City. I know you were a CBC boy, but and your first job was actually in Dunn's and Ballyvillane. Tell us a little bit about the early days.
Well, CBC is a great school. I was there with two brothers all our lives. It was really, really good. I still look back at it. Some of my best friends are still guys I was in school with in Cork, and Dunn's and Ballyvillane. Yeah, that was up the hill. That was great. That was stacking shelves, loading the sugar. Sometimes you'd get lucky and you'd be the off licence, or you might be in haberdashery. But it was great having to work, having to put in a shift. Mix it up and do all that.
Those kind of jobs, and most of our guests, you know, who come through the Executive Chair have all done them. The learnings there around customer service, around getting out of bed and going to work, around all those things stay with you forever, don't they?
They absolutely do. Everybody should do it. Now, I'm trying to encourage my own kids to get ready for working in the local Tesco in Sandymount, and it's a bit of a struggle, but I think absolutely everybody should do a job like that. Just seeing your name on a roster, on a shift pattern, and you just have to get used to it. And sometimes it's a struggle, but you just got to get up out of bed, go and do it, and you're better for it.
Off to UCC, BCom. I don't know, had you an interest in becoming an accountant or anything like that?
Or oh God, no.
What were your early thoughts?
My early thoughts were going into marketing. The marketing lecturer said, no, you'll never be any good at that. So I ended up doing IT in a BCom, and right. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I then joined the Procter & Gamble graduate program because they paid the most and you got a company car.
Right.
So that was the motivation at the time.
And you also then worked in Accenture. You went to the UK at some stage. How many years did you spend there?
I spent over 12 years living and working in the UK in three different stints, which was good. So that was in South Manchester, that was in St Albans near London, and it's great. Nearly everyone who's Irish ends up in the UK at some point in time. I would look back and say that was really, really good, just to be in a different country and see the similarities and get an appreciation of what's great about being Irish. I also lived and worked in Germany for 8 years, which was really, really good, learning German, being in a very, very different culture, and I still love going back there. It's a fascinating country, and more Irish people should consider working there.
You've also worked with some great brands en route to Ryanair, and was there always an attraction to work in a place that had a strong brand?
Yeah,
marketing guy.
Yeah, I like that. I think, you know, if you're doing something that people talk about, be that Tesco, be that a Ryanair, be that the airport, be that stuff you eat, I think there's a really good attraction to the consumer side of things, and something that is important to consumers. So I do get a kick out of that.
Let's talk about Ryanair. You spent 6 years there as chief marketing officer. People would have said you were cut out of the same cloth as O'Leary, but you would argue, I'm sure, you're a very different type of character.
I think it's a management team there with different characters and a very strong management team. Michael is obviously, you know, I think he's the greatest airline CEO in existence at the moment. He's done an incredible job. That airline will be the biggest airline in the world on every single metric pretty soon. And all Irish people, not just those in aviation, should be very proud of that. It's a fantastic place to work. I learned loads there. I got to do loads there. It's a business that moves fast. It's famous for being really brutal on cost, and it is, but it's also a business that taught me that you should actually just cut out complexity and keep things really, really simple. It's a fantastic business model.
I'm sure many people ask you around your transition as chief marketing officer from at Ryanair to the CEO of the DAA, where Michael O'Leary is now probably one of your biggest customers. So that relationship, you know, I'm sure is strained. I'm sure there are challenges around it, but can you give us a little bit of an insight around that?
It's pretty straightforward. It will never be harmonious. If a DAA CEO says they have a perfectly harmonious relationship with Ryanair, you know something is wrong. So it has to be feisty. We have different points of view. There's a big overlap. Oh, look, we have a lot of the same things to do. Their business is about getting passengers away from an airport. Ours is about getting people through an airport, hopefully in a joyous way, where they spend lots of money on sandwiches, pints, and shopping in our duty-free shops. So what we do is very, very similar. We'll never agree on everything, because we run airports. You know, we've got two big immovable assets in Ireland. It's a more complex business. Ryanair's business model is different, but as I said, you don't want the two of us to agree, because then it would mean that Ryanair's getting what they want.
Well, it's also a kind of a landlord-tenant type relationship. It might be slightly different in terms of, you know, you're basically charging rent and they're doing the operating within your... So it isn't... It's maybe a more complex version of a landlord-tenant situation.
It is. But look, it works.
Yeah, absolutely it works.
And look, Ryanair is one of our many airline customers. We work hard with all the airline customers. We never get in their way. Their job is different to our job. We work really, really hard at doing everything that we have to do. There's an overlap, but it's good. But it's working well. This summer is about getting people on the move. That's the focus of the airlines. That's the focus of us. And that starts really this weekend. I mean, I was just up at the airport this morning. We'll have 100,000 people go through Dublin Airport today. That's a big, big day. But from here onwards, we don't really look back. The numbers just keep on growing.
I see the front page of, or the business pages in the Irish Times today, Kenny, reporting that the regulators could limit Dublin Airport winter traffic to 14.4 million passengers. That would be a disaster, would it not?
It would be a shame, and it would be a shame for Ireland. Look, I think there's demand out there from the airlines for Dublin Airport to be next year the size of around a 34, 35 million airport. There's great demand to connect to Ireland. Dublin Airport is a low-charge airport. It's a well-run airport, so it would be a great shame to be turning away airline business, but we're doing that. We're doing that because we're complying with the planning cap that exists. Now, the planning cap goes back to a condition that's almost 20 years old. It was at a time when we didn't have the port tunnel, we didn't have the M50 operating the way it does, we didn't have a lot of the motorways that we have today. Traffic congestion is the reason for the planning cap. Again, that's nearly 20 years old, but traffic congestion to and from Dublin Airport rarely is a problem. So the cap is archaic. We wish it didn't exist, but it does exist. And while it exists, and while we're waiting for planning application for our 40 million infrastructure application, which we submitted last year to be approved, we will comply. So that means that slots will be restricted, and that means that passenger numbers may have to go down next year, probably have to go down next year, and some flights will be cut and some jobs will be lost, unfortunately.
And what do you say to Ryanair saying then they're dismissing the winter limit as just another distraction tactic by DAA, which had accused of failing to submit a planning application to lift the 32 million cap to a 40? So did you fail Ryanair?
No, we didn't. Look, we have already submitted a planning application in last year. So the planning application is in. We're waiting for that to be approved through Fingal and then on board Planola. We hope that goes fast. Look, I think everyone with a big infrastructure application in Ireland is hoping and wishing that things move faster. So once we get approval, and I think we will get approval in about 2 years' time, then we can operate up to 40 million. It's a shame that we're not allowed to operate to a higher number in the meantime. Is this a distraction? No, it's not. We don't control ultimately the number of passengers that can go through. So there's a regulated slot process. The airlines apply for slots. That's what controls ultimately the passenger number. So people might look at the DAA and say, we've got a magic tap and we just turn it left or right and passenger numbers go up and down. That's not the case. It's us, it's the airlines, and it's the regulator that control the passenger number. What we're saying is, look, we are going to comply with planning. That does mean that some airline business will be turned away. That is already happening. European Airlines used to fly to Dublin. They don't anymore. 2 weeks ago, there was a conference of all the airports and airlines in Copenhagen for Europe, and airlines are actively already saying, we'll trim frequencies in Dublin because we're anxious about the cap and we can't grow the way we'd like to.
But as an island nation, Kenny, you know, the commercial impact of restricting passengers, and I know it's complex and I know it's detailed, but looking at it at a high level, it seems crazy to me economically to stop or to not allow the airport to grow.
Bobby, you're 100% right. It's totally crazy. Look, the Irish are fantastic at aviation. I go around the world to places like Saudi Arabia where we operate three airports. And they are in absolute awe of what the Irish have done in aviation. They think we're great at airports. Air Rianta was the first duty-free shop in the world. Ryanair and Aer Lingus are two of the most respected airlines in the world. Two-thirds of the world leasing industry or more is based in Dublin. So we are world leaders at aviation. And around the world now, people are saying, but you're capping your main airport.
What seems crazy.
It's not a good look for Ireland. We're turning business away. It's going to cost jobs and connectivity. If you lose a route, getting it back takes about 3 to 4 years. So this isn't going to be a 1 year problem. So look, it's not good. I wished we'd put in our infrastructure application sooner. That would have helped, but the planning cap still would have existed, and it's not the best thing for Ireland.
Okay, we got slightly distracted there. I want to go look at the area into business, ARI and DAA International, because, you know, we talk about parking out at the airport and we talk about the cap, but really the business that you're running is absolutely significant internationally.
It's a really exciting thing, and I wish more people knew about that. Cork and Dublin airports will always be our bread and butter business, and that's what we get judged by here. And that really does keep us grounded. But we're operating duty-free shops in 15 different countries. We are responsible for twice the number of passengers outside of Ireland than we are in Ireland, two airports that we own and manage. And that's really, really exciting. There's a great retail business there. All the duty-free shops you go through in Cyprus, in Portugal, about half of the duty-free shops in the Middle East are run by ARI. And that's a really fantastic travel retail business with some fantastic people running those shops, fantastic Irish people running those shops. You can go to Bahrain, you can go to Larnaca, you go anywhere in Portugal, you can go to Canada, and you'll hear an Irish accent running the duty-free shops there. And that's absolutely fantastic. Duty-free as a concept was invented in Shannon in 1947, and the Irish have brought it around the world. And that's something
Brendan O'Regan.
Absolutely. Yep. Great team and great pioneers in aviation. And then on the DAA International side, you know, we're operating the airports at Red Sea, at Jeddah, and Riyadh, and that's really, really important.
Have you investment in those airports?
We have investments in one of those airports,
right,
and the other ones are long-term management contracts.
Right.
And that's a part of the world that really, really, you know, aviation, they want to really expand their aviation. There's loads going on there. There isn't one airport being built in Europe as we speak, but there's about six being built in Saudi Arabia alone. There's and also in the peninsula, other airports are going to be built. So it's a very exciting part of the world for aviation. And there's lots of Irish people down there involved in airlines, involved in airports and every aspect of aviation.
Okay, we're running a little bit short in time. I could talk to you all day, Kenny. We did get slightly distracted by the airport cap. Tell me, will you be going to the match later? I know you're a Munster rugby fan. Can you face Croke Park with all those Leinster lads around you? How will you deal with that?
I can. I will go to the match later on. I'm a rugby fan, so look, being from Cork, it'll always be Munster, but it should be a good game today, so I'm looking forward to going to that. Now, I wish the weather was a bit better, but get a few jobs around the house done first, go for a run, and then enjoy a few pints at the match later on.
See, and up early on his way out to the airport, get a run done, go to a match. A man of many talents, Kenny Jacobs, CEO of the DAA. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Bobby.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.